Willie and all of them. And we'd go there every Sunday, and they'd either be at our house, you know.
Let's record. Yeah. I made the little red one for record.
Okay. Did you do that already? Uh-huh. Okay, that's for her name. And
yeah, okay. And your full name?
My name is Alma Doris Wallace Revis.
R-E-V-I-S.
Okay.
And your father's name?
Was Logan Wallace. Junior.
They put every one of them up there.
And your mom's name?
Martha Wallace. But she was a McClanahan before she married my father. She was Martha McClanahan Wallace.
They left the wall.
How many was in your family?
They was just my mother and daddy. They was just me and Clyde Wallace and Alma, just two of us.
Just two?
Uh-huh.
You didn't have any stepbrothers?
No.
Sisters?
Nope.
And how many are in your family are on the Potter Cemetery?
There's four. There's Martha Wallace, Clyde Wallace, and Logan Wallace. And Uncle John's got a child up there, but I don't remember its name. It was before my time. There's a little path. There's my father right here. That other, it's got like a homemade tombstone. But I don't know what name's on it, but I do know it's Uncle John's child. Mm-hmm. And Aunt Pearlie.
Well, Debbie, our niece that's doing this, she's got all of the marks on a paper and mm-hmm. the names of the row mm-hmm. that these are in.
Yeah.
So
well, now, I don't know the rows that Mommy and Daddy and Clyde's in, but they're right together.
I didn't get
right
with
together.
Her to get her maps uh-huh. that she's drawn up by pencil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They used a GPS system and surveyed it to mm-hmm. see how big, and there's over 200 graves there.
Well,
did you know any of the ones? Have you been up there, really?
Well, just
to look
at decoration. Usually, when we go on decoration day, if I can get up there, we look at all the graves. I know several that's up there, and like the Potters and the Sykeses.
Did you know any of that may have been with where the old rock stones are?
No, now see, I don't know that. I never was up there until we buried my daddy in 49. But before 49, I couldn't tell you nothing because I never did go up there and look. But Daddy said he always wanted to go up there because Uncle Dick Potter told him there'd be room for him and his family. See, Daddy's mother was a sister to Uncle Dick Potter.
What was her name?
America Potter.
Now, Dick Potter, is that Richard?
The old man. That was Woodrow's daddy, I guess.
Okay, his uncle, mm-hmm. or his grandpa.
And Woodrow said that there'd always be room for us because we had Potter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that we would never have to pay for a plot up there, which we did, because Denver asked, and we didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. We've been trying to find his records, Woodrow's records, but we didn't get them before they passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy, Richie's wife, says she thinks she might know where they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Woodrow was in the hospital, Clyde was in the hospital at the same time, and then we went back and talked to Woodrow, and so he said we didn't have to worry about a plot, that there'd be one there for us, well, which there have been.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we didn't see him no more after Clyde come home, and he come home. And so then we asked Richie Dale about the graves up there, and he said whatever Papa said or whatever he said was okay with him because he didn't care either.
Because
mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure, you know.
Yeah.
And so we told him what Woodrow had said and Woodrow's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, if they said, well, he was right in there when he was in the hospital when Clyde was down there. We was talking to him that we would still need the place. Because it'd be me and Clyde.
Usually when we really needed anything, we'd go to Clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And ask him.
Yeah.
And
that's Clarity Potter.
Sanders.
Sanders, okay.
All right, Snowdy.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, where did you live on Elkhorn Creek?
I never lived on Elkhorn Creek. We've always lived at East End.
In Elkhorn?
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe you was up Jackson's Branch.
No, we've never lived up there. We've never lived nowhere but in Elkhorn, at East Elkhorn.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We lived in two houses. One was down there next to the railroad. So then they sold that and where my mother lived when she passed away. And that's the one they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never lived on Elkhorn. But we visited all the time.
Yeah.
Ma, you know how old people, they'd go, they'd say now, Bertha, you and your husband come for dinner. Or they'd say, Martha, you and Lowe come. And Martha'd say, well, to John Morgan Potter and his wife, and invite them home. And that's how I got acquainted with up Elkhorn Creek.
Yeah.
When I was growing up. Because it seemed like that's the only place we went. You know, because, yeah, seemed like somebody'd always invite them, and they'd always invite somebody to our home.
Yeah.
And I was always glad when they left. I had to do the dishes and stuff. Because you put a whole house full of kids for a young'un to wash dishes.
I remember having to do them over.
Yeah.
Get the grease off.
Yeah.
And that's that was my next question, what you remember about other families living on.
Yeah, just when we'd go and visit them.
And have a big Sunday dinner.
Yeah, there's always chicken and dumplings.
Picnics.
Yeah, we never went on picnics, but sometimes they'd have things at church. They called it something else, associations. But now, I hate picnics. I don't go to picnics right today. Because I went so much when I was little. I hated to go.
Go down to the river and fish.
Yeah.
Slipped off any time.
We slipped off one time and took Clyde down there to the bridge to go swimming. Well, they never would let us go. And we looked around and he was going down on his last time. And we got him by the hair of the head and pulled him out alongside the road. Me and Francis Taylor and somebody else. I can't remember now who else. My mother knowed about it before we got him out of the water. That's how news travels. And then my mother likes to beat me to death. Then she whooped the fire out of me. Because they said there'd been a lot of good swimmers that had gotten drowned right there at the bridge.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of them did.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that's a bad place there, like whirlpools or something in water, and it just pulls them right in.
I know they used to swim where that old big rock is, you know, where Hawkins Coal had their coal rocks up there. They've been a couple there, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. And then we'd get to have to go in down there at the barn hole. It was about up to your knees. And have to go in overalls. We'd have had bathing suits. And after I got older and left home, I didn't want to go swimming.
When did you leave Elkhorn?
I left Elkhorn City in 1939. And I stayed until 82. Went to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Did you go with family?
No, I went by myself. This lady, she used to live down under the hill there. She had a sister that lived out there. And every time she'd come home, she'd say, well, you ready to go home with me and get you a job? And I said, no. Well, one day she come home and I said, Daddy, I said, can I go back to Cincinnati with Leona? She was Bess Coleman's sister. Her name was Leona Mooney. And she worked in a laundry in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I said, I ain't gonna do that kind of work. So I went to Crosley Radio. Well, first, I got off the streetcar. Well, I didn't know where I was going. I just told them where I wanted to go. And I stopped at, I see this great big building, and I stopped in there, and I said, are they hiring anybody in here? And he said, lady, he said, hey, you don't want a job here. And I said, well, I never have worked. I said, I was looking for one. He said, this is Cincinnati Workhouse, where bad girls and bad boys comes. I said, I don't want that. He said, go down to Crosley Radio. So then I worked at Crosley Radio Corporation during the war. And then I got laid off there, and then I went to Frank T. and Spice, and I worked there about 6 or 7 months. And then we went to South Carolina and stayed about 2 weeks vacation. My husband come home on a furlough. And so then I come back, and I went to Keebler Biscuit Company, and I worked there 37 years.
Keebler, huh?
And I retired from there with a pension. Yeah.
So what happened to your husband?
He just got up off the couch and fell dead to go to the bathroom.
So you would and rather had, come back home to live?
Well, he died in 77. So then I married again. He wouldn't work, and I got a divorce. He beat my jaws off. He blacked both my eyes. And he worked out where I worked. When he quit his job, I packed his clothes and sent him home. And so I haven't been interested with nobody else since.
Are there many older people that you knew growing up? Are there many older people still living that you remember over in East Elkhorn or?
Okay, there was Roy and Shirley Looney.
Yeah, I loved them.
Yeah, I knew them.
The door would be open.
And there was the Ambergies. Do you remember the Ambergies? They had a store. And then there was the...
See that bar, I want you to capture it.
The,
yeah, real skinny.
John Hackney and his wife had a grocery store there.
They
had corn.
There,
I would keep watching that window then.
Pergrams?
Huh?
Do you know the Pergrams and the... Doc Deskins,
well, now I know Doc Deskins, but now I didn't know Pergam, because Pergam must have been there after I left to go to Cincinnati. I didn't know Pergam, but I had heard about him being a doctor, you know.
Now that'd be something to see.
And Dr. Newsom. I remember Dr. Newsom and Dr. Deskins. If when Dr. Deskins come to see you, if you didn't know, but yeah, if you forgot what he told you, you wouldn't know how to take your medicine, because he couldn't write. He just scribbled it. But he'd always tell you, you know, what it, how to take it. But if you he like, hadn't told you, you wouldn't remember nothing.
Did you know John and Mary Potter that lived there across the creek from
John
Patton's?
Morgan?
No, it was... Mac Potter, Mac and Flo, and them's daddy. Do you remember Flo? And
I forgot a lot of their names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was Willie Potter. I remember.
Shirley.
Yeah.
The one you told me that stayed, you call him Uncle John, and Aunt Pearlie.
Yeah, that's Daddy's brother.
And he stayed, and they stayed with Uncle Dick. And
yeah, no, but they'd go up there, you know, and visit, but they didn't stay with them. Because when Uncle John and Aunt Pearlie was married, you know, when I grew up, and then Sam Wallace, that was their son. He was a year older than I was. His birthday, he was a year from June, and I was a year younger in May. My birthdays was in May, and his was in June, but he was a year older than me. Now that's Aunt Pearlie and Uncle John's boy. And they're not buried up the Potters. They're buried out there at Elkhorn.
Yeah.
Aunt Pearlie and Uncle John both.
They were Wallace?
Yeah. Aunt Pearlie was married to nobody else. Of course, my daddy was married before he married my mother, and she died. And his wife was a sister to Cora Tackett, his first wife. But, of course, we didn't know her. Mommy didn't know her either, but Mommy would put flowers on her grave after her and Daddy died because he had told her that was his wife. She's buried out the Elkhorn. Mm-hmm.
This sure has been some good history, and you may be getting tired of talking. And
well,
if you want to ask. And you can ask her some stuff.
You want
he tries to be quiet.
Else.
Y'all are doing so good, my brother.
And he'd rather listen.
Yeah.
He has a lot of genealogy, been working on it and trying to catch up with all the Potters.
Yeah.
And
well, that Elzick woman is trying to catch up on all the Wallaces. And every time I see her, she'll ask me something else. And you know about all the Wallaces is gone. There's just a few of the younger people.
Well, his sister Mildred married Furl Wallace, and that is in Merlu Cyphers. Mm-hmm. You know her. It was married to Cooley.
Yeah.
Rattler. Her Wallace family. Clara was a Wallace, and they were from Fashkank.
Well, I see there are about four sets of Wallaces.
These were married into the Branhams. Their mother was a Branham, weren't they? And
yeah,
they called south. It south of the mountain.
Yeah.
Over
well,
the
I can remember
side.
When we was growing up, they talked about Mountain Bib Wallace. But now I don't know that bunch of Wallaces. Uh-huh. Yeah. But I've heard them talk about them, but I don't know. He wasn't. Well, then there was a whole bunch of Wallaces from over at Hayside, Bartlett. Well, I see we're not related to that bunch either. Now, that's Dipsy Adams.
Like the Hilton, Ivy Hilton.
Yeah.
She was,
yeah. And like this, what was her Spifley's woman where her husband died? See, she was a Wallace, but she was from over there at Martin Splash Dam or someplace over
just
there.
Different set.
But there's about four different sets of Wallaces that was no relation to us. Now there was Bev, Frank, and Lige. Now that bunch of Wallaces was my cousin.
Lige, I've heard them talk about Lige Wallace.
Do you know Foster Wallace? That married Katie Lee.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now see, Foster's daddy was Lige.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm glad to hear
they
that.
Was cousins of my side of the Wallaces. Huh. And I'll tell you another one I never knowed was a Wallace. Until her, Clara Potter, Mac Potter's mother, Clara.
Mary was Mac's mother's name. Clara was his wife.
No, Mike Potter. I'm thinking of Mike Potter.
Lantha.
Clara, yeah, Mike and Lantha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, Clara was a Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a man come and stayed up out there at the motel. See, Clyde's wife works out there at the motel. Just whenever they need her, you know, to go and make beds. And this man was out there. She asked him who he was, and he said, you know Clara Potter. Well, she didn't. She came out there and she said to me, do you know Clara Potter? And I said, yeah. And she said, this man is a Wallace, and they were brothers and sisters. But see, I didn't know Clara was a Wallace.
More stuff than my stuff.
Until that man.
Clara and Merlu, you know Merlu well.
Yeah.
They were sisters. Merla's mother
right.
And Clara
were sisters.
Right.
And she passed away, and then the murder Crumb.
Well, in the same way.
Tell the Crumbs come in there from the mob.
Hassel Potter's wife. She tried to get me to date Mark Potter when his wife died. And I told her, I said, honey, I cannot date a Potter. Because I said, my daddy's mother was a Potter. And she said, well, I'm sorry. So then, and see, there was Bart and Elmer. Okay, then she wanted me to go with Elmer. And I said, no, I said, they're brothers, ain't they? And she said, yeah. I said, they're still Potters. And she said, well, honey, as old as you are now, don't look like it matter. And I said, well, it does. But she said, you need somebody. And I said, no, Juanita, honey, I don't need nobody. She said, yeah, you do. She said, everybody needs somebody. And I said, well, I've had two somebodies and I don't want no more. I said, I'm too old. I said, I want to go and do what I want to. I said, I like to go on trips and go everywhere the senior citizens go, I want to go too. And I said, if you got a husband, sometimes it don't work out that way.
It don't.
That she wanted me to have me a boyfriend somewhere.
Just a friend.
Judy, her and Leona was up there the other day. See, Clyde's birthday was in September. And they go up, she had lights or something put there, you know, like where the sun makes lights for night. She had some of them put on one Clyde and one on Mommy's, I think, and one on Daddy's. So they was up there, and she said, there's something now, it's digging in the graves up there,
you
big holes.
You see them pretty?
Yeah, it's pretty. I had a clock like that one time with a horse's head, and the time was right in its, between its head and its...
Lisa Taylor, that works here, is in his aunt's granddaughter, Jean's daughter, Jean Grayer.
Yeah.
And Lisa works out, a nurse. And our cousin married her uncle through the, we were Williamses, and she brought, took Ruby up to see the horses one day, to Hannah's and Teresa's and, I call her Teresa, Frieda's and Darren's. So she said, I don't know where that ever came from, but I found it in a drawer at my house, that horse. She brought it to Ruby.
Well.
And, but we just enjoy it. We'll come more often down here now, won't we? We come a lot during the summer and sit out there on the patio with her. And I told her it's got so cold.
It's too cold to sit out there.
For me to get out.
Catch cold.
And,
I said I'll have to be real careful anymore because since I'm on a pacemaker, she's told me so much I can't take over the counter, and there's a lot of medicine don't mix with my heart medicine. That's what she told me. And you know, I've been eating about anything I wanted. Well, now they're sent me to the Coombin Clinic at the hospital. And it's Dr. Leslie Maynard. And she's told me a lot of stuff that I ain't supposed to eat, and I ain't been eating it. My blood's perfect now. Because it has to be so-so with a pacemaker.
What was it you allowed to eat?
Well, all they told me that I could not eat greens, mustard, kale, or turnip greens. That's all they told me. She gave me a whole list. Anything that clots your blood, I can't eat it.
Oh.
Because my blood has to be thin for the pacemaker.
Oh.
And it has to be a certain point.
Coumulin.
I take Coumulin.
Yeah, I remember the list.
I can't eat broccoli, cauliflower.
Yeah.
I can't have mayonnaise. And I can't have no kind of cold medicine over the counter. And I can't take antibiotics because of my heart pills.
You'll have to be very, very careful.
Yeah,
about
I do.
Pneumonia.
Well, see, I had walking pneumonia and about died. And I didn't even know what it was because my medicine, I like to puke my guts up. And finally, I went back to the doctor and I said, I cannot take no more of this medicine. I said, it's killing me by degrees. And that was working again my Coumadin. And I can't take no kind of meds, no kind of food that clots your blood. And here I was eating broccoli all the time.
It's vitamin K because it's healthy for you.
Yeah. And okay, then I like cauliflower. And I love celery. And I love lettuce. And I was eating all that stuff. And I can't eat dried beans. I can't eat soup beans. And I was raised on soup beans, but I can't get rid of the gas. And I about die. So I had 3 colonoscopies to tell me that I could not eat soup beans or dried beans. I can eat green beans, they don't hurt.
All that stuff my mama fed me. Doctor told me if I didn't stop eating, it would kill me.
Well, he told me the same thing. He said, if you don't quit eating soup beans, they're going to kill you.
Judy Carroll, and her son, and 2 grandkids.
Who?
Judy Carroll.
Judy Carroll.
And so now
I've been doing what the Coumadin doctor told me. And my blood's moving now. Now, I can't be around a pacemaker and a microwave. Because it works again, my pacemaker.
There's
your. So when anybody's on a cell phone, I gotta get up. But I can't get around it.
Oh, cell
phones. Mm-hmm. We got ours on. Can we turn them off? Should we turn them off?
No, as long as you ain't talking on it, I guess.
Well, you know, the other day he rung me and we were sitting in there playing bingo and I didn't know that. He gets out somewhere, he'll call and see where we're at in here.
But I reckon as long as you ain't talking on it, it ain't bothering, it don't do nothing, does it? They just when I see somebody talking on one, I just get up and leave.
Well, I didn't know that. Yeah,
because he told me, you know, that not to be around the microwave and the cell phone. And when I got out of the hospital to go home, when they put the pacemaker in, I said, "Now, Dr. Havens, I said, what can I do?" He said, "Anything you think you can." And I said, "Can I mow grass?" He said, "Yeah, you can mow grass, you can do it." And I said, "But I've got to carry in coal and cut up wood." He said, "You can do that too if you have to." And I said, "Well, I have to." And I've done all that and it don't hurt me. But he said, "Stay away from the microphone and the cell phone, a microwave and a cell phone." And I don't bother either one of them. And when if I'm walking along in a store and I said, Amanda, Leona watches me like a hawk. They'll say, "Here comes the cell phone, get over there." And they'll say, "I hear somebody talking on cell phone, get over there right now." And they take care of me because sometimes they're right on you before you know it, because everywhere you go, somebody's talking on one.
Yeah,
and they'll say, "And I'm going to get over here, here comes the cell phone. And I'm going to, if you hear her talking, here she comes, get over there." And one day I had to go way around. Everywhere I went, they cell phone. Somebody talking on cell phone.
And we noticed that. We went to Walmart last weekend.
Everybody got one.
Walking
and shopping. Yeah. And when I had to go yesterday then for the blood work, and so this girl was going to get on the van, on that trolley bus.
That's just a needle.
And, well, he said, "Are you going to get on?" I said, "I can't get on as long as she's talking on that cell phone." And so she said she hung the cell phone. She quit talking on the cell phone.
You'd have to take that.
He took me on back over there to where my car was.
You'd have to take that. Mm-hmm.
And so like I said, when I go with Amanda and them, they watch me like a hawk to make sure I don't, because I don't know what it does, but it does something to the cell, to the phone. Well, this one girl told me that comes up to the center. She said, "Do you have any trouble with your pacemaker?" And I said, "So far, I ain't." I said, "It's been doing what it's supposed to be doing." And then they call me on the telephone and talk to me about it. And they'll tell me, said, "It's just fine." Every other month, they call me on the telephone. And the month that they don't call me, I go to the doctor, the heart doctor. And so they say it's working. And she said, well, my husband's, there's something all the time wrong with him. And I said, does he talk on the telephone? She said, yeah, he's got one in his hand all the time. I said, that's his problem. I said, they told me not to be around nobody that's on a cell phone or a microwave. And she said, he eats greens, eats everything. I said, he ain't supposed to eat nothing to clot your blood.
Where'd you have it?
Poplin. Dr. Havens. And I had that Dr. Ahmad, cardiologist. And he gives me 11 prescriptions at the time. See, the union used to pay for my medicine. Well, then I had that United American insurance. And it kept raising, and it got $279 a month. And I canceled it. And so she turned to United American then, because I quit them. They turned into my union that I was getting a prescription card through them, and I never did. I just canceled my insurance. So now I have to pay for all of my insurance, because the union said if you cancel it, you can't get it back no more. Well, Dr. Ahmad, he said, you're going to have to take 4 different kinds of medicine, plus whatever kind you're taking, you know, from something else. I take cholesterol medicine, and I take blood pressure pill. And so he gives me 11 prescriptions at the time. He said, go to Walmart's and you can get it cheaper. And that's where I go. My copay was $15 a prescription, and I got 3 months yesterday for $10 on my Coumadin. Okay, then my heart pill, I get 3 months of that for $12. And then I take HCTZ, and I get, that's $4. And I get 3 months on that for $8. So that was cheaper than what the union was paying, where I had to pay the copay.
Yeah.
And so, see, then I got one more of that to take another pill for the heart. And I think it's $12 for 3 months. And I, now Judy's doctor won't give her 3 months prescription. But mine will. I said, well, I used to buy it all the time when the union paid for it at Elkhorn. So then when I lost my card, well, then his medicine was higher. So then Ahmad sent me to Walmart. So now I go there and get my medicine, and it's cheaper. And so I don't worry about no getting these other places that pays for the prescription, because I can get cheaper at Walmart than I can get 3 months. And they told me if I got 3 months. Now, I told this new doctor, the Coumadin doctor, I said, now, give me 3 months supply. I can get it cheaper. And I get 3 months of Coumadin for
$10. That's what I'm going to do next year. Mm-hmm. Do you have to wait long in line at Walmart?
No. You